Hi, welcome back to Eye to Eye, the weekly podcast talk show all about passion, flow, and creativity, where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams into their reality. I'm your host, Aaron Holman, and my very special guest today is the one, the only Ada Vox. I'm happy you were able to join us today.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. I'm glad I was able to make it.
Welcome to Eye to Eye Podcast, Ada Vox. Just before we get things started, I always like to ask, what are your preferred pronouns? And can you just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. So for me, there are no preferred pronouns. People call me, oh, girl, oh, yes, man, this. I don't care. You know how it is. Some people are real sensitive about it, and I respect them very much and use their proper pronouns. But for me personally, you can call me whatever the hell you want, whatever comes out naturally, whatever feels good, mama. And I forgot what the rest of the question was.
Well, that's so good. Just go ahead and tell our listeners about yourself. Obviously, they should know you as a top 10 finalist of season 16 of American Idol. But go ahead and describe just more about who you are.
I was there on that American Idol thing. I made the top 10 as the first ever drag performer to do so, breaking the glass ceiling in real mainstream television.
Yes, ma'am.
There was that. But aside from that, obviously from that you can gather I'm a singer. I have been doing so professionally for 14 years of my life.
Wow.
Drag is something that I've only been doing. Ada just turned 6. So I've been singing professionally, almost double that time, just about over double that time. And I don't know. what is there about me? Drag itself is not my passion. I'll say that much. Drag is something that I did to be seen, for whatever that matters. I don't know. I'm sure we might discuss that later on. But there's that. I'm a singer. I am in the process of making new music and releasing new music. And you can check out all of my social media stuff just at Ada Vox. And join my Patreon, where you can get exclusive backstage access to projects that I have coming up, as well as behind-the-scenes content to my life. Go ahead and join. I have 5 different membership tiers. Mama, get yourself one. For everyone, from the broke bitches to the rich hoes.
Oh my God, I am like living. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning. This podcast is about passion, which you are overflowing with it. Rarely are people louder than me on my own podcast, and I fucking love it. So let's go back to the beginning, and you have been singing for 14 years. When's the very first time that you ever sang, and when did you know that it was going to be a path for you?
I grew up singing. My mom loves to sing. And that was kind of our thing. We didn't have this like sparkly fairy tale growing up. You know, we had our struggles like everyone else. I'm not from this like crazy rich family or anything. Like a lot of people seem to think, oh, you were on American Idol, you're rich. Well, that's not how it works. I came from the south side of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty normal person here. Not anything extravagant, but I've been singing since I grew up with my mom, who always enjoyed singing since as she was a kid as well. She's always sung, but I took it seriously after I was about 8 or 9 years old. I had brain surgery.
So
after I had my brain surgery, I had brain surgery. I had to have like an emergency brain surgery when I was 8, because I had cysts growing up against my brainstem.
Wow.
That came out of nowhere, and they were like, oh yeah, you're gonna die. Yeah, so I had to have like an emergency surgery for that. And it just so happened to be around the same time that season 1 of American Idol aired. So that kind of coincided with why I tried so hard to be on American Idol, because it was a big part of the beginning of my dream of wanting to be a singer. It just kind of all happened. I couldn't go to school for a long time because I was stuck in the hospital in recovery. And one of the things I remember the most is sitting at home with my family and watching American Idol and enjoying that, because I liked to sing. My mom liked to sing. It was a show that just captured us and was good family time, especially, you know, those first seasons. It had kind of, it was much different than it is now.
But oh,
it was like the crazy family television that everybody was loving.
Yeah.
So what really drove me to want to sing more than ever on top of the American Idol thing was that while I was in recovery in the hospital, my mom stayed with me. My mom, unfortunately, she had lost her job because she had to stay with me in the hospital.
Wow.
So that was really unfortunate because she had to stay with during recovery and everything. But she would sing to me while I was in the hospital bed.
What would she sing?
One of the songs that she always sang to us growing up. Ooh, Child. I don't know if you know that one. Child, things are gonna get easier. Because like I said, we've had plenty of hard times in our life, and that was just a song that she always sung to us, you know, whether it was going to bed or when we were sick or whatever it may have been, and whatever struggles we were going through. And that was one of the things in the hospital when I was recovering. Her singing to me was the only thing that kind of made me feel something other than the physical pain I was in.
Oh, what a blessing. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So my thing with that was, hey, she made me feel this way. I want to sing. I want to make people feel that way. I want to make other people feel that way. So doing what I do now, I started singing professionally about when I was 13. Doing what I do now has allowed me to do that for people. You know,
wow. Yeah.
And I have people telling me every day, they said that there's something about what I do that makes them feel good. It makes them, you know, they feel something when I sing, and it makes, and I have so many people that tell me every day that I've helped them become who they are. And I've helped them to overcome just with them listening to my voice, that it heals them when I'm singing. And that is the goal of what I did, you know, that of what I do, because of where it all stemmed from. So I guess that's kind of the story as to how I got to it. But since I'm here in San Antonio, the way I really got my start was by starting with the nonprofit youth music organization called NYA, NYA, short for the Network for Young Artists, which is still the program that is going on today. I believe it was started, it might have started right around early 2000s. I don't remember exactly, but it's been around quite a while, and it's a program that I stand behind very much because they allow affordable music opportunities to kids who are from, you know, not a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's for anyone and everyone, but their target audience are those of us that can't afford music lessons, you know?
Yeah.
And it's about $150 for the entire year. And it allows you performance opportunities if you make it into the advanced classes, and you can learn different musical instruments and things like that. So just quick shout out to NYA, the Network for Young Artists here in San Antonio, because they really helped me get my start. If it wasn't for them, I don't know if I would have been able to get my start on the stage.
I understand exactly what you're talking about. I grew up, I used to do community theater, and even just going and doing that, you know, it taught me so much about myself as like a closeted gay boy, you know, growing up in like a rural town in Louisiana. The arts are one of the most important and worthwhile things for a child, period.
Period, poo.
Boom. So I would love to then, you said, it was with working with NYA that it became more professional. What were those first opportunities? What did those look like?
The thing was, it helps you to open up.
Mm.
This is what the program does. Like for singers, it's not like you're getting these intimate singing lessons and actually have a vocal coach teaching you these things. What it is we have there's a vocal coach there, and what he teaches, his name is Danny Vasquez. I believe he still teaches there. And he teaches a master class. It's you and whatever other students are signed up for the program. It's about sometimes 10, 13, 20 of you all in one class. Mm-hmm. And he says, look, this is how you breathe. You know, he said, this is how you breathe to sing. And then the whole class practices it type of thing. So it's not like individualized private lessons at all, but it's enough to teach you the basics of this and that.
And it's a little more real world in like that way. You know, you're not going to often be auditioning like alone. You're going to be in front of people.
Yeah. So it really helps you to break out of your shell because you're forced to learn these things around other people. And then what happens at the end of the class is after you go through whatever basics that they ran you through every class, which was just once a week, you sang in front of everybody. Everybody got a chance to sing a song. Whether, you know, just a cappella or a couple minutes with a track, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So they started breaking you in, you know, saying, get used to performing in front of people. These people, you know, just go ahead and give it a go. This is a no judgment zone, even though I was judgmental as hell. I was there being 13 years old saying, bitch, you know you can't sing, right? To all these other hoes. to these kids that are 7 and 8 years old, I'm in my head just saying, you cannot sing, mama.
Hilarious.
But you know, but once you make it to the advanced class, you have the opportunity to audition for the advanced class, and it doesn't change the classes themselves. But making it to the advanced portion gives you performance opportunities. Because the program itself is a nonprofit that gets hired to do events all over the city, whether it be, you know, major congress people who hire them to entertain at, you know, a birthday party or a community event, festivals like the Oyster Bake Festival, the Strawberry Festival, the Baracoa Festival, or Forestville, things like that. So they did all those local festivals, everything like that. So those of us that were in the advanced classes got the opportunities to get on those stages. Mm-hmm. And getting to get out there, we get approached. If we're good at what we do, you know, somebody sees us and they say, hey, we like your voice. Will you sing, you know, at our daughter's quinceañera? Will you sing here? Will you sing there? You know? So there was all these opportunities that were garnered from going out and doing those free events with the nonprofit organization. So it wasn't long after I started performing there that I started getting opportunities to sing at birthday parties, at other events that they would hire me and like just to sing at different types of things. When I was just 13 years old, I started getting hired to do those things. And I'm trying to remember, I don't remember what festival it was. But my first time performing with them, I know I sang No One by Alicia Keys.
Nice.
Broken Wing by Martina McBride. And I think Soulmate by Natasha Bedingfield. I'm trying to remember. But I did a few songs like that. And those were the first songs that I ever performed. Wow. Way back when. And it was on a stage in front of a few hundred people at a festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. Before that, I don't know if you remember. Oh, no, actually, you're not from San Antonio, so you probably won't remember. I'm talking to you like you're a local.
Yes.
We have citywide talent shows.
Mm.
They were called the Our Part of Town talent shows. And we have had so much talent from those shows that has gone on to be like on the X Factor, on American Idol, on The Voice, that have been all over because they allowed us the opportunity to break ourselves into a real stage and into a real performance environment. So I'm very grateful to all of those things. But yeah, the Our Part of Town talent show used to be hosted by, sponsored by Time Warner Cable. I don't know why they stopped it, but Time Warner Cable, baby, get that back going. Get that going back up, please. And thank
you. It was
you.
Worthwhile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's showcase national talent. Even though the production was like cheap ass, like old 90s stuff that was getting put out for us in the mid 2000s, we still appreciated the opportunity and we could tune in to the local channel and find those talent shows and watch ourselves on TV.
Yeah, which that kind of representation is so very important for people to know that they can do it.
And even if it's just a local talent show at a tiny community theater that you performed at, you could win something. And they had cash prizes sponsored, you know, and things like that. And it helped just to give you the confidence. Mm-hmm. So either way, that's how I got my start. But thank you, San Antonio people, for doing that. If anyone watches or tunes in and listens, I forget, it's a podcast. Listen.
Yes. We have listeners. We have viewers. I don't care what they're called as long as they keep tuning in. So let us go into, I love hearing about the beginning of your stuff. Were there any particular role models or mentors that you had growing up? Was it those musicians, your mother? Was there anybody else that stands out?
I mean, so obviously my family, my grandparents, I don't have a huge family. It's my grandparents and my mother and my sisters that were really there. My baby sister Avery is just turning 12. She wasn't even born when I started performing.
She is adorable, by the way, because I've been tuning into the lives. Avery is so cute. Oh my God.
You see her breaking out of her shell little by little.
Yeah.
I'm trying to afford her the same experience and opportunities as best as I can that I was offered when I was a kid, you know, even if it's just sitting in front of a phone because she has bad stage fright. So I was like, hey, maybe a digital audience will work best for her to start out.
Yeah, the audience who can't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. But my grandparents were a big driving factor. My mother, my sister Ashley, who is, how old is Ashley? She's 25 now? 25. And she's currently pregnant with what's going to be my very first nephew.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Yes. Yeah, yay, more child support. No, but they're all driving factors. But of course, going back to the nonprofit youth organization, even when I was on American Idol back in season 12, mm-hmm. I was just on as regular old me, and they sponsored me. The nonprofit youth organization, they knew we don't have a whole bunch of money. Wow. So it may not have been a whole bunch, but they got me a $200 check to go to Hollywood with. Just to help me with expenses and making sure that I was taking care of while I was out there, you know, when I made it back in season 12. And at that point, I had already stopped going to the program. I had stopped when I was about 18 or so. I wasn't going as often as I used to, but they still made it a point to reach out to me as an alumni and show me support. You know, so that's a shout out to Danny Vasquez, Daniel Patino, who is a studio owner here at Symmetric Sound Productions in San Antonio. Coach Terry Laurie, Edward Venezuela, Amelia, but those are all people from that group that really believed in me, you know. And there was a whole bunch of other students that have been there, like Allie Brooke, from Fifth Harmony. She's from that same program.
Wow.
I'm trying to Sebastian de la Cruz. He was the mariachi boy on America's Got Talent a while back. I don't know if you remember.
I remember him.
He's from that same one. Isabel Marie Sanchez. She was on La Voz Kids, and she's currently signed by Abraham Quintanilla, Selena's dad.
Woo!
She's from that same program. Jessica Espinosa. She's currently. She fronts a metal band called Jessica Hill. She was on the X Factor when it was here in the USA. She's also came through that program. I'm trying to think of who else. There's a whole bunch of people that are, you know, relatively well known that we've come out and really tried to do something from that program. So I'm very grateful for that support. And I think it really helped a lot of us to move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're very grateful.
Good. All right, so you mentioned being on two different seasons of American Idol. I'd love to talk a little bit about that first experience. You said it was season 12. What happened when you went the first time as, I believe it was as Adam, right?
Yeah. So I went the first time. I have auditioned for American Idol 13 total times.
Woo!
I made it in season 12. I believe that was my third or fourth time auditioning, because I started auditioning in season 10 when I turned 16, because American Idol's age limit was 16 at the time. So that was that. I started auditioning in season 10 in Austin. I believe I auditioned twice in Austin, and then I auditioned somewhere in, I forget where I auditioned in season 11. It may have been Louisiana or something like that. But then I auditioned in San Antonio here in season 12 here in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, this is like it felt like my 100 bajillionth time auditioning, even though it had only been like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, okay, like I'm comfortable doing these auditions. Let's just go for it. I had just graduated high school. I was in my first semester of college at UTSA as a music performance major. My principal instrument was clarinet.
Really?
I auditioned. Yeah.
Wow, you play clarinet. I would love to see that sometime.
I would love to find my clarinet. But no, I attended school and had a classical training as a clarinet player, and I was very, very good. Probably still am very, very good if I could find it.
Love it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I did that. I played mariachi professionally. So I played guitar. I dabble in violin. I also play the saxophone, the flute, the ocarina, the oboe.
Okay, so like music is your bitch. Like you've got that on lock.
Yeah, believe it or not, I never studied voice.
Wow, unbelievable.
So, yeah, I've always done music, but I've always sung, but I never studied voice. Like outside of my own individual, like reading weird books because I'm a weirdo about music and I'd like to read books on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that was American Idol. Right when I was in college, I made it. And then I quit college because I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can sing.
Yeah.
And I had already been singing on stages and everything before that, of course, for many years before that. But after that, I said, I think I can really do this. I said, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I'm going to, like, I don't want to do this college thing. Because my thing was, I was going to get my music performance thing. I was going to study my clarinet. And I was going to, of course, continue singing, you know, doing gigs here and there and whatnot. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, play in an orchestra. Or just do something like that. Mm-hmm. But after that, I was like, yeah, I don't like school.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I was like, if I could just do the music, then that would be great. But then I had to take all those other classes, and I'm like, I don't like it. So I was like, I'm going to focus on what I really am passionate about, and that is my singing.
Yeah.
So I stopped going after that. One, because I had to do filming for American Idol. Two, because I just didn't want to go back. And I didn't take out any student loans. So.
Oh, you are so blessed in that regard right there.
Well, that's another, I refused because there was, for me, I was like, I don't like this. I don't like the school. And one thing I told myself was, if I have to take out student loans, I'm not going to go. I don't want to have to worry about it. So, because we had saved up my whole life so that I could, you know, go to college, whatever. But it was like so much of it was used in just that first semester.
Yeah.
Well, I was like and I still have so much more to go. I was like, what's the point? And I don't need a degree to sing. And even to play clarinet or something like that, you don't need a degree. You show up for an audition.
Yeah.
And as long as you know what you're doing and understand what's going on, that you get hired based on your skill.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to go to school for that. So I was like, okay, I made it on American Idol. This is cool. I don't know those of you, how many of you remember that season, but that was when Candace Glover won.
Oh, yeah. I remember that season because I was a huge Candace Glover fan.
I was going to say Candace Glover is by far one of the best vocalists to ever take the American Idol title.
Oh, absolutely.
She's impeccable. Like, her vocals are just crazy. So I absolutely love her. But yeah, I got cut at top 50, which was fine because I wasn't ready. You know, at that point, although I had been singing professionally for, I think, 6 years prior at that point, doing gigs with bands and different events and, you know, all of whatever, I had been there, done it. But I wasn't musically prepared. Like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I figured, I said, all of this happens for a reason. At the top 50 cut, I had to sing and woke up that morning with a completely lost voice. Like, completely.
Yeah, that's the universe, you know, stepping in.
Yeah, so I wasn't even mad. I was a little like, damn, that just sucks. But the more I thought about it, the more I said that it was meant to happen. Mm-hmm. So I was driven to discover myself. So after that, I kept auditioning every single season. By the time I made it this last time on season 16, I had auditioned 13 total times.
Wow.
And I had never auditioned in drag before. Every time I had auditioned, they told me, you're just not what we're looking for. You're not marketable enough. You're not dressed right. Like, you need to change the way you look. And every single comment was about the way that I looked.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
It just so happened. I had told myself when American Idol auditions were starting back up for season one, I was like, I hear the buzz. I received emails, people reaching out saying, hey, we're starting auditions, this and this and this. I was like, oh, Lordy. Okay. So I told myself, I'm not going to audition unless they do auditions in my hometown again.
Nice.
Okay. I said, last time I made it, it was in season 12 when they did auditions in San Antonio. I said, I'm only going to audition if they do auditions in my hometown again. That's my thing. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm only
doing
it there. And then at the last minute, they announced an extra audition city in San Antonio.
Boom.
And I said, well, I've been doing drag for a couple years now. Everything they told me was about my look. And I said, they're coming onto a brand new network. Drag Race is hot right now. Drag queens are a commodity. And I can actually sing. And I said, If I go in drag, I know that I'm going to make it, period. Like, I already knew that because I know how to play the TV game.
Yes, you do.
You know, for season 15, I could have gone and auditioned for drag in that last American Idol season on Fox. But I said, no, I just didn't want to because Ada was never supposed to be a thing, mm-hmm. you know? Ada was developed as I found out that people didn't like the way that I looked. You know,
and that's so horrible. I'm so sorry.
No, and that's just how it is, though. And like I just had a comment on my live video. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a comment on a video that was live a couple days ago when I first got here. He says, "Oh no, don't show them your real face. Don't ruin the fantasy." He says that's not what they want to see.
That's wrong and incorrect.
And I get those comments all the time. Every single time. And like when I go live, there's always at least one person that says, "Oh, why aren't you in a dress and makeup? Oh, why aren't you all pretty for us? When are you going to get pretty for us? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that?
When you pay me." Like,
firstly, it's like drag is not my passion. Singing is my passion. Drag is just a stage persona that I show up when I'm getting paid to do. You know, and that's it.
Do you ever perform drag outside of performing music?
Not anymore. Mm. Unfortunately, it's both fortunately and unfortunately. Mm. But since my time on Idol, everyone hires Ada, you know, for everything. People don't hire me. They always say, "Your voice is fantastic. Yes, yes. Will you come perform as Ada?" And that's what it always is. So it's a blessing that because of Ada, I have been able to tour all over. I've been coast to coast, done Canada, done Paris, France, done you know whatever. I've been over the damn map, and I love it. And I love what I do. Although I may not love drag, I love the opportunities that it has offered me by being this trailblazer / you know role model in the LGBT community for specifically what I did.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that. I just wish that I could have had those opportunities offered to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's just how the world is these days. Unfortunately, we have to change everything in order to be able to do what we love. And while that may not be the reality we all would like to live in, that's the reality we are in. So me, even though my voice stays the same, my passion stays the same, and I still love what I do being on stage and singing just as much. Unfortunately, if it's not wrapped in a pretty bow, people just aren't for it as often. Mm. And I can't make as much money because I'm not appealing, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just how the industry is these days as well.
Yeah, commercial music is, I think, one of the most cutthroat, it probably is the most cutthroat industry out there, in my honest opinion, you know, because you can't, it should be enough that it is your voice and your brilliant talent and your artistry. But, you know, the fact that they don't even want it unless, like you said, you wrap it up in a pretty bow. Mm-hmm. That must be rough.
It's more about the package than what's in it these days.
That's so loaded. Ooh. Something that I am curious about, because I love your voice, the runs. The freedom that you have when you sing is the thing that I am so attracted to when you do it, because it is just seeing you create on the spot joyfully. It is an absolute pleasure to watch. I am curious, what does that state of flow feel like to you? What does it feel like when you're singing? Do you think of it beforehand? Does it just come to you? Does it come from God? Where does it come from?
So, and it's interesting you said that. Does it come from God? Because one of the things I forgot to mention about my start singing is that I started singing when I was very young in the church choir.
Yes.
And I was later kicked out of it.
Oh!
Because, and do you want to know why? It's because people would clap when I would sing.
Oh, so that's what, detracting from the spirit?
Exactly. I was told that it was distracting from the gospel, distracting from the word of God. So it was my fault that people would clap after I would sing. So I was scolded for that.
I am mad for you. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so I forgot that I left that out. So I just made a little note of that right now, but that's really where I got my start way back when, in little church choir. When I sing, it's just something that feels right. Mm-hmm. You know, I it's not something that I think about when I'm doing it. It's unless like I'm really trying to work out a kink in a song or something. But you know, like you say, you've tuned into my lives. When I'm singing, I'm just singing. And that's it. It just feels good. It makes me happy. And it keeps me from thinking about everything else that's going on while I'm singing. It's just nice.
Yeah.
And I hope that other people get that same kind of feel when I'm doing it. I just want them to feel happy and sing along and feel good and feel free. Because that's how I feel when I'm just letting it go. It's not, there's no process of overthinking or anything crazy. It's just enjoying something that I loved to do.
If you're enjoying this bonus episode of Eye to Eye and you'd like to hear part two and get some more bonus content and help support us create content like this and more, starting as low as $5 a month, you can join us at patreon.com/eye to eye podcast. That's EYE number 2, letter I, podcast.
Welcome to All Gay Long. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Nikki.
And this is a podcast all about open and honest conversations all day long.
All gay long. Yeah, so we're going to have chats about our lives, all things LGBTQ, and giving our often unwanted opinion on what's happening in the world right now. Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe and follow us to stay up to date on our weekly episodes.
We are All Gay Long and we really hope you join us on this journey, and we will see you all soon. Bye! Bye.